relationship with you right now in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Well, good morning. Good to see you guys today. Hope everybody's doing well. We are going into a new series of messages this morning called This Is My Story. We had just finished a series about love. Love is. And this whole last month, we've been doing a campaign called Share the Love. And we've heard it called a benevolence campaign. You say, what is that? It really is a campaign of generosity. That's what that's been about, a campaign of generosity. And so we're wanting to hear your stories. And we've got some stories in. We've had some people reach back out to us. One story in particular, Admira Robinson had, submitted her Aunt Tia for help. And her Aunt Tia had some health issues, and she's going through some rehabilitation. And she needed a stationary bike to be able to do this rehabilitation as part of her process. And she did not have that, did not have the funds to get that. And so she lives in New York. She doesn't even live here. And so we were able to purchase that and send that to her. When it got to her door, she looked out there. She's like, hey, this ain't mine. I didn't buy this. Somebody, this is not my stuff. And they had to call and tell her, said, no, Aunt Tia, said, this is yours. This is yours. And so, guys, it's not just here in Richmond Hill. You guys have been able to bless people just across our country. And so we're grateful for that. We're grateful for the chance to be able to step into places and situations. And so you'll be hearing more about these stories as we roll them out over the next few weeks. Just things that we've gotten to do, some really cool stuff we've gotten to do. I would love to just stand here right now and tell you every one of those, but Taylor's back there shooting daggers at me saying, do not tell all the stories in one service. So I'm gonna save them. So I'm going to move on to a different story. I'll move on to This Is My Story. And we're going to go to the book of Genesis today, Genesis chapter 1. I know that we were just in Genesis 1 just a couple weeks ago. We're going to go back to Genesis 1, so we're in Genesis chapter 1. And everybody has a story, and what this series is about, I said it a little earlier, this series is about how our story intersects with Jesus, how our story intersects with the story that God is writing for us. And maybe today you're going to see that in a little bit different way. And over the next few weeks, what we're going to be asking is that these tags that you see, these are going to be out. And the way that we want you to be part of this is just to, maybe there's people that you're praying for their story. Maybe you have a mom or dad or brother or sister or coworker that you're praying for their story to intersect with Jesus. What we'd love for you to do is just take one of these tags and write their name on it, and you can drop it here, and that becomes part of how we're praying for Easter, because this is what we know about Easter. Easter and Christmas are those big days during the year where sometimes people that never go to church and they never give God any time, they will give that time. They will say, hey, I will give that time. And so what we're praying for is that that people who would say, hey, I will give you this one day, that we can make the most of that day, that we can make the most of that opportunity. And so there are people that we're praying for. So just hang on to that. And that's going to come into play a little bit different today too. So just hang on to that, and we'll get there. Now, everybody's got a story, and I love superhero stories. Anybody, you love superhero stories? You grew up reading comic books, watching cartoons, you know. How many of you guys, Spider-Man fans? Any Spider-Man fans? Yeah. Woo, Spider-Man, all right. Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man, right? How many Iron Man fans do we have in here? Iron Man people, all right. My Iron Man people, you know, I like Iron Man. He's one of my favorites. Batman, we talked about Batman a few weeks ago. How many Batman people we have in here? Dark Knight, yep. Superman, how many Superman fans? Yeah, okay, there we go. All right, Superman, there we go. That sounded like a lot of ladies. I don't know why. anyways, so every superhero, they have a story. They have what's called an origin story. or they have a backstory. And so their backstory, their story of origin, is kind of what builds into their character. It begins to kind of give some of their shape and some of their defining moments for their life and some of the experiences that they have that plays into, you know, the person that they become and the hero that they become. And so you don't always see this, but you're thinking about, okay, this is why he is the way he is, and this is why they are the way they are and how they got to where they are. And so Spider-Man, if you look at Spider-Man's story, Spider-Man's backstory is that he bears the guilt of his Uncle Ben's death, that he had the chance to stop the guy who stopped a car thief, and he didn't. He let him go. And what he found out was later on that his Uncle Ben had somebody was stealing his car, and during that whole commotion that his Uncle Ben gets killed in that, and it just kind of weighs on him. So he wears this guilt of just knowing, hey, I could have stopped my Uncle Ben's murderer, but I didn't. So that's part of Spider-Man's backstory. Iron Man's backstory is that he had all this privilege and wealth, right? He had all this wealth, and he's just this genius mind with being able to tinker and build things. But as the story goes, now I knew the Afghanistan version. If you're older than that, you may know the Vietnam version, right? So that depends on where he winds up. Like, so he has this near-death experience where it's almost fatal for him in the story, and he spends time in captivity. And while he is in captivity, he's able to use what his captors give him to build this suit and build this this suit of armor that helps him do the things, the good things that he needs to do, and begin to save people. So that is part of his backstory. Batman, we talked about Batman a few weeks ago, and that Batman, his backstory is that his parents were murdered in front of him, and that his butler, Alfred, actually raises him. And so all these details begin to surface in his life, and what makes him who he is, this dark night, and you know, why is this fear of bats and what's going on, and so he becomes the Batman, right? And then Superman. You have Superman's story. What is Superman's story? I want to give you the story. A woman has a baby she cannot keep, or he'll die. She puts him in a small ship of sorts and sends him off, hoping that some other woman will take care of him, take him in, take care of him, raise him, and keep him safe. He grows up to save people. Does that sound like Superman's story? Kinda. Does it sound like somebody else's story? Does it sound like the story of Moses? Yes, it is. It is the story of Moses. And so if you're a really big nerd, you already knew that. That's a super. Some of y'all are like, am I a nerd? Did he just call us nerds? Yes. All right, just own it, okay? That's not a bad thing. And so that is his backstory, right? You start looking at this, his story, his name when he's on his home planet is Kal-El. And we're used to going back, and it could be pronounced Kolel, which in Hebrew means the voice of God, which is interesting. And you start looking at all these things, and you say, wow, that's kind of cool. Why is that? Because the guys who created the story were Jewish, right? The writer of the story, he was Jewish. The graphic artist, it was Jewish. And so when they got together to create this story of Superman, they began to pull on their Jewish background. They began to pull from their own story and what they knew and the biblical story that they knew, and they pulled this and lined this up with the life of Moses, that Moses was a superhero in their life, and Moses stepped into a time when people needed salvation, and Moses stepped in to help save his people. And so that is the story of Superman. And Superman, his planet was destroyed. His home planet of Krypton was destroyed. And so this is a parallel in a lot of instances with Moses. So every superhero has an origin story. It's a moment or it's an event that defines who they are. And our story, we have an origin story. But see, our story doesn't begin with an incident or an accident or a tragedy or a coincidence. Our story does not begin there. Our story begins with God. Every one of our story begins with God. And the goal of this series is to help us understand that our stories aren't random. Your story isn't random. It's being written by God. And your story didn't start with you. Your story didn't start with you. Your story started with God. So let's go there this morning. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. And then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And so God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him. Male and female, he created them. And so what we see here is, unlike superheroes, what are superheroes? Superheroes kind of stumble into their identity, right? They kind of find their way, sometimes a little bit hesitantly, reluctantly. Maybe they find their way into their superhero identity. But unlike superheroes who stumble into their identity, you were born with one. You were born with an identity, and you bear God's image. And that's where we have to start today. If we're going to start talking about our story, if we're going to start talking about the story that God is writing, you have to start at the beginning. And the beginning of the story is that He creates us. He creates all this, and He created us, and He created us special. And He created us in His image. And He created us with value. See, the world wants to tell you that your value is in what you do. That's what the world wants. Your boss wants to tell you your value is in what you do, right? You know, just as soon as you stop doing that, you become less valuable to your boss, right? And so sometimes we get this this idea that our value is wrapped up in what we do, but that's not the case. Actually, long before you ever did anything significant, you were valuable. God valued you. He put intrinsic value in you. Inherent value is what your life holds before you ever did anything. So the world tells you that your value is in what you do, but God says your value is in who you are. That's why Genesis and the Torah, and when I talk about the Torah in this instance, what I'm talking about is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. I'm talking about the first five specific books of the Bible. That What did Israel have to do? They always had to keep going back to the story. They always were invited back to the story, and that's what God wanted to remind them of. And you say, we spend a lot of time at this church in the book of Genesis. That is true. And the reason for that is that we, like Israel, have to go back to the origins of the story. Do you see every place in the Old Testament where God would remind the children of Israel, I am the God of your father, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I am the God who brought you out of what? Egypt. I delivered you out of Egypt. Why did he keep telling them that? There are places that you'll see that he goes, because he always goes back to this origin story. He always goes back to, this is who you are. Don't forget who you are. And see, they had that tendency sometimes to forget because they had spent so long in Egypt, and they had been surrounded by Egyptian culture, and they had been surrounded by the Egyptian gods. And so God, as he's bringing them out, and part of what he's pressing on Moses is remind them of who they are. Actually, he had to do this to Moses, right? This is who you are. This is who you are, Moses. You are first a Hebrew. You are first one that is called by my name. You're first called and created and shaped and formed by my hand long before you ever met Pharaoh. And see what Pharaoh would do with this. Pharaoh would say, hey, I'm deity. I'm divinity. That's how big I am. I'm not only your king, but I am your God. That's how Pharaoh thought of himself, and that's how he taught the Egyptians that these slaves, that they were better than these slaves. And the story for these Hebrew slaves, it was important for them because God told them a different story. The story that God told them was this: long before Pharaoh ever existed, I had a plan for you. I had a purpose for you. I have a a plan for you to see the value that comes intrinsically in who you are. And so that's why in Genesis and the Torah, it's so important to Israel, and they always have to keep going back to that. God was reminding them that their story was remarkably different, that their story was remarkably different. And so, they weren't there by accident. Now, I am the baby of my family. Anybody, you're the baby of your family? Yeah. Ooh, stick together. Babies of the family, right? I'm the baby of my family. I have two older sisters. My middle sister, she is 10 years older than me. My oldest sister, she is 14 years older than me. And so before I came along, they thought, our family is complete. We don't need anybody. My sisters thought this. My mom and dad didn't. They always thought, there's just something missing. There's something missing. You know what? But my sisters thought, our story is complete. We don't need anybody else. And then, ta-da, here I am. Actually, my mom thought she had the flu. And so 49 years later, the flu is still here with her. The longest case of flu ever. Now, she thought she had the flu, and I was kind of the oops. You know, and maybe that's kind of your story. Anybody, you know, you're kind of like, whoops, wow, yeah, you know. And it was kind of, you know, my sisters always tease me, you're the accident. You're just an accident, right? And I would push back on it. I am not an accident. I've read the Bible, right? I'm here on purpose, right? And that's kind of the joke in our family. But in seriousness, that's sometimes how we feel. We do feel. Some people can feel like they're an accident. They can feel like, I'm not supposed to be here. Maybe I shouldn't be here. Maybe this place would be better off without me being here. But that's not what God's story is for us. And that's why it's important that we remember that we are here for a purpose. We are here for with great intention, that God has created us and shaped us and formed us. And that's important for us to see that, that although the world tells you that your value is in what you do, God is saying your value is in who you are and whose you are. So I tell my sisters, I am created on purpose for a purpose, right? And so are you. You're created on purpose for a purpose. You weren't made randomly. You were made remarkably. That's what you were made for. You were made in a remarkable way. You were made for remarkable things. And I want you to see that. That is my biggest want for you today, is for you to get that, to see that, that God's got a plan for you and that he's got something remarkably wonderful for you and your life, because that's how he sees you. He sees you with great value. He doesn't just see you at what you do. He sees you with great value because he created you. And you bear his likeness. You bear his image. I love in Jeremiah. Jeremiah is a prophet. And if you go read the book of Jeremiah, prophets have a hard job because they have to do strange and weird things sometimes. Because God says, I need you to go do this, and I need you to take this message, and I need you to say it in such a way. And so Jeremiah, he kind of wrestles with some of this if you go through Jeremiah. But God is reminding Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 5, and he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Do you realize that? Before your mother ever gave birth to you, that God knew you? That God knows you? He sees you? He sees your form? He sees your personality? He sees your potential? He sees all this stuff about you long before your mom ever gave birth to you. He sees you. And so before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. When have you felt overlooked? When have you felt undervalued? When have you felt feelings of worthlessness? When have you felt hopeless? When have you felt anxious? Right? When have you felt angry? Right? All these things are things that sometimes we take on ourselves. Sometimes we believe the lies that people tell us. Sometimes we get labeled with lies and we make that part of our story, although God never intended for that to be part of our story. And the way I think about it sometimes is this. Sometimes we get told lies and it's almost like a tape. Anybody remember tapes? Okay. It's almost like a tape that just gets played on loop. And some of you guys are like, well, I can do the same thing. I can put a song on loop with my iPhone, right? It's like that, just putting a song on loop on your phone. And our brain does that. It's like the lies that we take in, we'll put that on loop, and we'll just play that. And we'll just play that over and over and over. And not only does that become the lie that we were given, it becomes the lie that we live. And that becomes part of our story. And God's saying, that's not what I want in your story. I'm writing something different from you. I'm writing something better for you. But we believe the lies, and it just becomes part of our story. It becomes part of the label that you wear, and it becomes part of the lie that you live. But before the world labeled you, God named you. You need to know that. Before the world put a label on you, what is that label that you wear? What is that label that they say, oh, you're this and you're this, or you're not this, or you're never going to be this? Long before the world, and somebody ever told you that, or somebody ever lied to you and said, you're horrible, I hate you, before they ever damaged you in whatever way that was, God said, I've named you. I know you, and I've named you, and I see you. And I see you, and I see what you can be. And I see the story that I want to write in your life. I see where I want you to go. And so before the world ever labeled you, God named you. God sees your personalities. He sees your gifts. He sees your struggles. God saw them, and he still sees them. God knew you before you knew you. Do you realize that? God knew you before you knew you. And I love that thought. I love the idea of what Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. He says, for we are his workmanship. What is that? We are his masterpiece. You could translate it that way. Do you feel like that sometimes? Or do you just feel like you're a messed up piece, right? You're just, I'm messed up. I am not a master anything. I'm messed up. But his word says this. He says, you are his masterpiece. You are his workmanship. You are his craftsmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works. He's got a good story he's writing for you. You're created for good works, for we are his masterpiece, his craftsmanship, his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand. Right? When did he know you? Before you knew you. So he already started preparing that. You say, well, my story's broken. My story's messed up. My story's damaged. You don't know what happened to me. God knows. He knows before any of that ever happened. And he already purposed good for you. How do I know this? Because he's telling us this right here. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. See, you have a distinct shape that God has purposed for you. And what is this shape? The shape looks like this. The shape is, and this gets borrowed from Rick Warren, but I love how they kind of pull this out. Shape stands for a few different things here. It stands for spiritual gifts. When you become a believer, that you're gifted with gifts, that the Holy Spirit comes into your life and you're gifted with gifts. And so there's spiritual gifts that God gives us. He plays into our heart. What is our heart? Our heart are those things that, you know what, sometimes people have to kind of pump you up to do stuff. This is the opposite of that. What are the things that nobody ever really has to pump you up to be involved with? What is that thing that you just have heart for? It's like, you don't have to pay me to do this. I would do this forever and forever because I just love doing this. What is that thing? That's what heart is. That's what heart is. Heart is that thing that nobody has to talk you into it. You've already talked yourself into it. You're like, I'd look for this because that's what I'm built for, right? Spiritual gifts, heart, abilities. Abilities are those things, those natural talents that you have. What are you naturally good at? Or maybe it's a learned skill. Some of you guys in here, you've learned some amazing skills. You've gone and received an education and you've honed in some of your talents and skills. And so those are your abilities and God uses those. Those are on purpose, right? You have the heart that you have for the things that you love on purpose. Spiritual gifts, heart, abilities, your personality. Yes, even your personality. Some of you guys are introverts. Some of you guys are extroverts. Some of you guys, I've been told there's omniverts, that you're all of it, right? And so that personality, that's on purpose. God knows that. God has crafted that and shaped that. And your experiences. And this is the big part of that. Your experiences sometimes are those things you say, I don't know how you can use this, God. This is ugly. This is horrible. God, this is painful. This isn't easy for me. That experience, though, God doesn't waste anything. God never wastes anything. And he can use those experiences that are part of your story to write a beautiful story, to write a beautiful next chapter of your story. And that's really kind of where I want us to kind of end up here today. See, you were made on purpose for a purpose with a purpose. You were made on purpose for a purpose with a purpose. You weren't just saved from something. How many of you guys, you feel like God's rescued you from something? Yeah, me too. Yeah, absolutely. But see, I wasn't just rescued and saved and delivered from something. I was delivered to something and for something. I was delivered to do something and to be something. That's part of what God is writing in my story. And so I see that. And so I was made on purpose for a purpose with a purpose. See, your story starts with God. Your origin story isn't defined by pain. It's not defined by your past mistakes or what others say. Your story is defined by what God says about you. Your story is defined by what God has said about you and what God is trying to get you to see about yourself. Sometimes we won't see that. Sometimes we just keep going back to the tape that we played, the lie in our head. We keep saying, God's saying, we got to write a new story. We got to write a new chapter for your story. Yeah, that might have happened to you, but that's not where we're living. I want you to see what's possible. I want you to see the potential that's here, and I want you to move into that next chapter of the story. You were created in his image, and you were known before you were born, and you were created for a purpose. This is your story. Now, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with your story? Well, I don't know. I don't have a great story. You have a beautiful story. And your story's not done. I don't care how old you are in here, all right? I don't care how old you are in here. Your story's not done. God is writing your story. If you were here this morning and listening to this and breathing, you are not done. Your story is not at its end. God is still writing your story, and it is a remarkable story, and it's a beautiful story. You may just, this next chapter may look different than the previous chapter. This next chapter may look different than the first chapter, right? But that's okay. He's still writing your story. I want you to stand with me. God is the author of your story, but you must decide if you're going to turn the page. God is the author of your story, and you've got to decide if you're going to turn the page. Are you going to turn the page and step in to the next chapter he wants to write into your life? And so this morning, this is it right here. What are these tags for this morning? And these tags, you're going to see these for the next 6 weeks, and they're going to be for different things. You could put people's name on it that you're praying for, but this morning specifically, this is how I want to end. I want you to think about this. I want you to think about what is the thing that needs to go on this tag that I need to trust God with in my story. Maybe it's an experience, maybe it's a pain, maybe it's damage, maybe it's a question, maybe it's confusion. What is it that needs to go on this tag? And I want you to write that, maybe one or two words, and you don't have to put your name on this at all. But just write on that tag what that means for you. And then this morning, what I would love for you to do is just come and just lay that down at this altar, saying, I'm sharing this, I'm trusting God with this part of my story, because this is hard. This is the hard part of my story. This is the difficult part of my story. And so, God, I trust you. They're going to sing a song called I Trust in God. Many of you know this song, and I want you to sing it with us. So while they're singing this song, I'm going to ask you just to write one or two words on there that represent that thing. And I want you to come lay it down this morning. But let me pray for you, Lord. We thank you today. We thank you today that when we come and we look at our story, that we can trust you with our story. That we can entrust our life and our story into your hands. And we can entrust our life and our story into your hands and into your story, because you are a great author. And you write beautiful.